Welcome to the Full of Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:25 p.m. that is Pacific Summer Time. Today is April 24th, and it was an interesting day today because in Asia this morning everything kicked off with a positive note. China was in positive territory. The H-share index was up about 2% on in Hong Kong. The Japanese banks took a tailwind from the strength of the dollar against, particularly against the yen yesterday. But then you had some earnings coming through on Wall Street, and that really did put the cat among the pigeons, to coin a phrase. Certainly we had an uptick in volatility. What happened with Caterpillar is emblematic of the kind of volatility we had during the day. It rallied, or it was, in fact, it was up in right off the open and then collapsed during the this session, because part of their the conference call said that there was a high water mark for earnings from the first quarter. So that wasn't particularly good news. But then when you have this kind of downward dynamic and these very large pullbacks, we can see from the internal dynamics of the range that it is falling faster than it rises. I think that is as plain as day right now. Now, when we look at that and think about where are we in terms of this stock market trend, well, there is absolutely no denying that Caterpillar had accelerated higher. And now we have had the massive reaction against the prevailing trend. We're getting a period of right-hand extension below the peak. It is so far holding the region of the trend mean. That $120 area represented a level of resistance all the way over from 2011, but this is a major uptick in volatility following an accelerated advance. And until we have evidence to the contrary, we have to conclude that a peak of at least medium-term significance is in. And if it starts pulling back below the trend mean, well, then we would have to conclude that this could in fact be a top of more than short to medium term significance. It could be a multi-year top. So these are important considerations. Certainly this uptick in volatility is deleterious to to investor sentiment. Then you have Google. Now, Google is an impressive business, and they are not short of ways of making money. But one of the more important points is that it was one of the most consistent trends in the world until February. It had never really pulled back by more than about $100. Then it pulled back by $200. We now have two lower highs, and it is testing this $1,000 area again. The best case scenario is that it holds the region of $1,000 and then goes sideways for anything up to a year and a half. It did that in 2014, and then it broke upwards very conclusively. But this is already a larger reaction. That's a major trend in consistency. This would have been a very consistent trend had the reaction been limited to $100 when it got up to 1200, but that was not the case. If it falls back below $1,000, well, at the very minimum, we have to conclude that the consistency of the trend has been significantly interrupted, that we are into a much more volatile phase, and that the risk attached to the instrument will have increased really quite substantially. Well, in yesterday's audio, I was rather keen to highlight some of the risks that were outstanding in some of the other FANG stocks. So, for example, Facebook has pulled back from the region of the trend mean. And again, this is a type 2 reaction, massive reaction against the prevailing trend. It's quite normal that we see a period of right-hand extension below the peak. We are getting that, but so far it's looking like a completed type 2 top, and is really going to have to sustain a move back above $170 to question that hypothesis. We know that high yield bond yields are rising, although the spread has so far been contained. But then you look at, for example, Netflix, and it is really quite overextended relative to the trend mean. I continue to see notes saying that Nvidia is a buy, but again, this is also a what had been a very consistent trend losing consistency. This is a bigger reaction. We have had a much more volatile trading environment. We have had some really quite profound stabs to the downside, and so far it is holding up above this $220 area, but it certainly will have to continue to hold this range evident since the beginning of this year if the benefit of the doubt is to continue to be given to the upside. When we continue to look at what's going on Wall Street, we've had a significant uptick in volatility. Now, the indices were able to pair the decline intraday, and we're still in the early stages of the earnings cycle, so there is potential for a bounce here. Just because we are in a more volatile environment does not mean that we're going to have an imminent crash, but certainly what we need to see is continued two-way action. And we can see also that the 2550 area has represented an area of support on two previous occasions. It coincides with the region of the trend mean, and the trend mean has rallied up now so that it is now testing this area once more. And this continues to look like a corrective phase. And 2500 points on the index is a big psychological level. So I think it would really need to take that out to confirm that we have a peak of more than short to medium term significance. But considering that we had accelerations and we have had very sharp pullbacks from those accelerations, then we are in a medium term corrective phase at the minimum, and that is likely to continue for anything from 6 to 18 months. We saw the last one of those back in 2014 through to the beginning of 2016, and that was a rather traumatic environment for investors because we had such a high churn rate. What I also find quite interesting is, for example, when we look at Coca-Cola, they also had their earnings in here today, and the share was in negative territory. But the yield is now at 3.5%. This has been an area of support for dividend aristocrat type companies on successive occasions over the years. So it is going to be, I think, rather illustrative of the kind of environment we're in if the share fails to find support around this 3.5% level on the yield. Nestlé is also in a rather choppy environment, but if we look at the yield, again, 3.5% had been an area of support on a number of occasions. It still has a ways to go to get to that 3.5% level, but this has been a rather choppy environment overall, certainly not the most consistent of trends. Well, what are the sectors then that are doing better? Well, energy is certainly has got to be at the top of that list. Royal Dutch Shell has been rallying in a very impressive manner over the course of the last 4 weeks. It is now testing its all-time highs and in a rather dynamic fashion. And of course, part of the reason for that is because the oil price has been rather steady. Now, it was in slightly negative territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. And this continues to represent a recovery trajectory when you look at the weekly chart, that there was a very consistent advance up from the lows in the middle of 2017. Then the share pull, excuse me, the price pulled back to about the $60 area and has bounced impressively. And as long as it is trading above the $60 area, then we can give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. There is an additional point that is, of course, worth monitoring with the oil price, and it is that if oil prices surge higher, most particularly if they go back up towards $100 and potentially more than that, well, then we could conclude that that would at least represent surging oil prices. And surging oil prices are a harbinger of recessions. So it is one of the arsenal of potential indicators that we keep an eye on for a lead to decipher when we might have the next recession. But we are in a more difficult geopolitical environment generally, and the potential for trade wars and or at least I think damaging rhetoric with regard to trade wars, regardless of whether they do in fact come good on those threats, it is having an effect on sentiment. Now, when we look at the 10-year government bond yield, I've posted a report from Huffington in here today, and they're very bullish on bonds. And I thought it was an interesting report to post on the day that the 10-year Treasury printed at 3% for the first time in at least the last 4 years. Well, the last time it got up towards this 3% level, it was unable to hold it. And it has put in some, well, if we just simply look at the weekly chart, it looks better supported on this occasion as it tests the 3% level than it did back in 2013 during the taper tantrum. I've seen a number of arguments, and it was a topic of conversation at the chart seminar last week, that what exactly is it that that is likely to drive a bear market in bonds versus some of the still quite bullish arguments that are prevailing. Well, the main bullish argument is that there is so much debt that we have not had an uptick in productivity growth, at least the way that it is measured by central banks, and that eventually that is going to contribute to less impressive growth, that more debt will be required, that people will that you're not going to be able to have interest rates rising because they're just the economy will not be able to sustain it, and therefore yields will have to fall. And that would require a recession, in my view. So, and I think that that is the only thing that is going to countermand the fact that the reason that yields are rising right now is because there's so much additional supply. And with the fiscal stimulus that the USA has engaged in, it requires a great deal of additional debt on top of the refinancing calendar that we've known has been in the works for a considerable period of time already, and that is applicable both to the corporate sector and to the government sector. So that is the prevailing market environment. Of course, what someone who is bullish of bonds would likely counter would be that yields will first rise and then they will fall. But that would be to ignore the technical evidence. And when we look at these long-term trends, this is looking like a clearly defined base formation. And it would suggest that once the 3% level is penetrated on the upside on a sustained basis, that it is likely to act as an area of support for the yield the next time yields begin to pull back. So we are at a rather critical juncture. There is the potential that we have stagflation, where growth does not pick up enough to countermand the inflationary pressures that are rising. And an increasing number of pundits are talking about the May 1st print on the PCE, the PCE inflation measure, because the very low inflation readings from last March are going to drop out of the data, and that could contribute to inflationary pressures coming through in the kinds of data that the Federal Reserve does in fact pay attention to. There was an additional point in here today, and it was that the 2-year Treasury yield continues to rise, although it did not quite hold all of the advance in here today, but that the interest in the latest auction was not particularly convincing. So people are starting to get a little bit wary of continuing to support the US government when they are likely to be running very large deficits. That it would be in any normal circumstances that when a government is going to be running enormous deficits, that people would at least begin to demand better yield. So the 2-year is up to almost 2.5% now, and that is pricing in 3 quarter point interest rate hikes over the course of the next 2 full years. It is And I think potentially that is starting to price in reality at this stage, considering that we do have the potential for inflationary pressures to start to kick up in here. Well, then when we look at the gold market, gold was in mildly positive territory in here today. It has bounced from the $1,320 area. It has not countermanded the rather steep pullback we had over the last three sessions, but nonetheless, this remains within its range. And this looks like support building prior to a breakout. So I think that generally precious metals have been best bought following reactions. I'm considering increasing my position simply because we are back towards the region of the trend mean, and that the risk it has improved as the price has come back. Then when we look at the gold miners, well, the gold mining sector has been improving, and it is bouncing from the lower side of its range. It has been less volatile over the course of the last 3 or 4 months than it had been over the last year, and as long as it is holding that $21 area, I think we can give the benefit of the doubt to higher lateral ranging. But if gold does in fact break above 14, then the gold mining sector has the capacity to offer a high beta play on the precious metal markets. Aluminium was pulling back additionally in here today, not least because Rusal had, I think, one of its largest intraday or single day rallies on record, following the easing of sanctions on the Russian aluminium market. Nickel is right in the region of the upper side of its underlying trading range, and it was in mildly negative territory in here today, but certainly not in a dynamic manner. Whereas copper prices have continued to bounce from that $3 area on the COMEX contract, and we're in additional positive territory in here today. What I find particularly interesting about this chart is that this range, since the latter quarter of last year, is almost identical to the one that happened from the end of 2016 through to the middle of 2017. And I think as long as it is holding the $3 area, we can give the benefit of the doubt to recovery, to the recovery trajectory overall. When we look at what's going on in China, they cut the reserve requirement for banks, and that is the first evidence that the new dictatorial regime is looking at the effect of tightening on the market. So the A600 banks index is back in that 14,000 level and has firmed, but it is going to have to do more than that to confirm more than short-term support has been found. There's still a progression of lower rally highs, and that really will have to be broken to confirm a return to demand dominance. The H share index is on a valuation basis is not expensive, and it has held a progression of higher reaction lows since the beginning of 2016. It did accelerate up to that 14,000 level in January, and it has pulled back to the region of the trend mean and firmed. But it has to do more than firm. It has to at least push above the 12,500 level to confirm that we're getting more than short-term steadying here. And the potential here in Asia tomorrow morning is that we are going to have some additional volatility, considering just how much the Wall Street indices had pulled back in here today. We can already see that the Nikkei is down about 1%, and the Hang Seng down about 0.4%. So that is likely to have some knock-on effect. Then I think when we look at Vietnam, it is something of a lightning rod for investor sentiment with regard to emerging markets, because it had done so spectacularly well all the way through 2017 and into the first part of this year. But then it was it lost consistency at the penultimate peak. You had a very large key reversal at the top. It's followed through on the downside. This is at least a reversion back towards the mean, and suggests that we are in a pause that is at least multi-month, potentially even multi-year in duration, considering how quickly it had gone up and how much good news had been priced in. Then, if we look at India, the index continues to hold the 10,000 level, and it has broken its progression of lower rally highs. This is exactly what some of the other indices globally need to demonstrate. So far, that 10,000 area has been an area of support, and the banking sector, which has been a lead indicator for the Indian market over the last few years, is also now back above the trend mean. India has the benefit of moving towards, or I think being in the throes of, a digital revolution, and that is likely to act as a tailwind to the economy. And I think that that should in turn contribute to it being in a better position overall with regard to the volatility we're seeing on other markets. The rupee was a little bit firmer in here today, not in a dynamic manner. But as long as it is not surging lower, and with the dollar or the dollar surging higher against it, then that's likely to, or I guess unlikely to be anything more than a short-term headwind for the market. Well, when we look at the currency markets overall, then the euro was a little bit firmer, and it's right at the lower side of its range. So far, this has been a very consistent trend, and as long as the euro is holding that 120 area, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. With the euro stocks having bounced over the last few days, a short-term oversold condition is evident. The big question, having now broken the progression of lower rally highs, is will it be able to hold the region of the trend mean, having pushed above it? And I suspect we're going to find that out over the course of...